You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to Tigers in 20 Off the Boards, a Go Tigers 247 audio podcast where we bring you breaking news and interviews with players, top recruits, coaches, and influencers from football and basketball across the city of Memphis and around the nation. Now, let's get to the episode. Welcome back to Go Tigers 247's Off the Boards. This is Kenny Stubblefield, lead digital content creator for Go Tigers 247. I'm excited, man. We got Kendrick Davis with us today. Kendrick made massive news yesterday, man, coming out of the NBA draft process, and he is committed to playing for Penny Hardaway and the University of Memphis Tigers. Kendrick, what's up, man?
Hey, how you doing, baby?
Man, I'm great, dude. I'm great. Thanks for joining me, man. On a Saturday morning, getting out of the bed, you're in Houston right now. Thank you for joining me, man. I really appreciate it.
Man, appreciate you for having me. I actually been up for a little minute. I got a 11-month-old son, so.
Oh man, I saw him yesterday, dude. He's a cute kid, man. Tell me about your son. Like how much did he change your life, bro?
We actually just got back from the gym. He coming out with me in the gym crawling. I let him crawl around the gym, play with the ball. But I mean, I've always been kind of low-key. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't do nothing. I don't club. I don't party. So, I mean, having him, it made it even more locked in. Like, all I do is sit at home, watch TV. I might take him to jump world to the gym with me, come back home, chill, play the game. It just make your life easier. I mean, you're able to, you know, just buckle down and focus on your dream. And then I see him, and it make me go even harder.
That's right, man. I got a 10-year-old little girl and an 8-year-old son. So I get it, man. Like, you want to talk about instant maturity, bro. When you're responsible for somebody else,
yeah,
it's takes wild.
Level.
It's another level, man. So yesterday was a big day, obviously. You announced you're pulling out of the draft, coming to Memphis this year. Obviously, man, Penny has had a lot of success in recruiting since he's been here at Memphis. Two number one classes, you know, getting number one players in those respective classes each year. But when you announced, Kendrick, that you were committing to Memphis, it was, I think Memphis's mind was blown in terms of what this means. And I've heard numerous people say that this might be the best recruiting job, getting Kendrick Davis to come to Memphis from out of the transfer portal is the biggest thing he's done as a recruiter at the University of Memphis. Do you agree with that? Like, what are your thoughts on that? Like, why is this such a big deal?
I would not let y'all decide if that. I mean, I'm gonna let my play decide it, but I can see why people say that. I mean, no disrespect to James Wiseman, Precious Achiuwa, but, you know, them guys are bigs. You know, you got to get them the ball in my hands. And I was just able to show I can win at a level and put up numbers at the same time and win at a high level. I was just able to do it against Memphis a lot. So it's kind of they familiar. But besides
Memphis
that,
fans are very, very familiar with what you can do on the court, bro.
Yeah, but besides that, I mean, I just showcased it nationally, and I just know I can win games at a high level. I mean, Penny was a point; I'm a point. So I mean, it just made sense.
Absolutely. So, what was this process like for you, being in the draft process this year, going to you know, meetings and workouts and things like that? Like, what was this process for you in the NBA, with the NBA draft process this year?
Man, it was crazy. Last year I flirted around, really didn't do too much. This year it was crazy. I got mixed emotions. Someone was telling me I could be a second round pick. some teams was telling me you come back and you can make your way a first rounder. I mean, I just got mixed evaluation. Everybody liked me though. Everybody felt I was ready to contribute right away to what I bring to a team. And I just felt like the year with Penny could put me at a first round pick. And I just wanted to be able to showcase what I could show.
Did you get any kind of input from coaches and scouts and GMs about like what it is they're looking for? Like, you're player of the year in your conference. You're a clearly a high level contributor, high level top dog on a high level basketball program at SMU. Did these guys tell you like, hey, this is what we need to see from you this year?
So my sophomore year, I led the conference in top five in the country in assists. Last year, I led the conference in scoring and assists, and this year, I led the conference in scoring. So I was able to show I could pass and I can score. I think I averaged like almost two steals a game, so I was able to show my hands, and they just wanted to see more winning on that stage. You know, SMU, we didn't have the best schedule, I would say, until we got into conference, until we played y'all in Houston. But not just that. I didn't come back for the stats. I mean, I didn't show I could do that. I came back to win at a high level and show I could really bring a big-time championship to the city of Memphis and kind of do what Davion Mitchell, Jared Butler, all them guys did at Baylor, even the North Carolina crew this year, and just show I could lead the team to the biggest heights.
Man, that's awesome. I know Memphis fans are excited to hear that. So in this whole decision-making process that you went through, I'm sure there's a lot of late-night conversations with your camp, with your people, with your family, pros and cons list, you know, et cetera, all those different things. But ultimately, like, what was the deciding factor for you to decide to come back out and finish your college career at Memphis?
Just knowing my work. Last year, I let the confidence going in the season. People were telling me, you should leave. It don't get no better than that. You should leave. Like, how much better could you do? I think I shot like 38 from the three, 90 from the line, like 48 from two. They was like, you don't get no better than that. And I told them, I can get better. Now, I ain't Michael Jordan. I can't get better. And I was able to show that this year. And just trusting my work, just believing in Penny, believing that the city of Memphis got my back. And had a lot of talks with Desmond Bain, a lot of talks with Ja, a lot of talks with my mom and my camp, my Uncle Corey. And we just thought me coming back there could solidify me as a first-round pick. And you can't pass that opportunity up as long as you keep going first and just work hard.
And we know that's what you do, man. You're a hard worker. So all those things, all you can control is your hard work, right?
Yeah, that's it. Everything else is on the fly.
Right. So tell me about you grew up in Houston, Texas. You grew up in the Fifth Ward, up in the north side of Houston. Tell me about your history growing up playing ball. Like, I know Texas football's huge, baseball's big down there, basketball's big, obviously. In Texas, everything is huge sports-wise. Like, everybody it's a great state for sports. But how did you grow up in Houston? When did you start playing ball, and when did you realize that, yo, one day I could probably get paid to do this?
Man, took me a little later than most kids cuz I was smaller. I didn't hit my growth spurt till like the 11th grade, and that still wasn't a spurt. But I was always a YouTube, like, sensation kid coming up, you know, had handles. I was good. I think I was good from the age of six. And when I got to, I want to say, the 7th, 8th grade, I had been with my uncle, Coach Mingo, for the Houston Hawks my whole life. And when I got to the 8th grade, all the shoe teams start calling. And when they start calling, that was the year De'Aaron Fox, Jerry Bilt, all them dudes reached out to me. And De'Aaron Fox came on camera and said, I was the best guard he ever played against.
Wow.
And kind of sunk in like, man, this dude finna be a top 10 pick. I mean, I really can play. And as, that was my 10th grade year. After that, I kind of locked in and knew, all right, I got a chance. If he telling me I got a chance, I'm here.
Wow. De'Aaron Fox, man, that's crazy. That's a crazy story. Yeah.
At that time, biggest, he was a senior. We had to play them to get the state. And nobody knew who I was. So when we played them, I think I had 30 and we won. Everybody looked like, who is this little kid? I was about 8'5", 9" at the time. And De'Aaron Fox came up to me after the game and was like, where the cameras at? You need to tell y'all this the best guard coming out the city. And everybody like, and then after that, I mean, my life just took off.
I mean, do you remember that game, though? I mean, I know you have to remember that game, but
leading
up to that game, playing against De'Aaron Fox, like, what was that? How did you, like, mindset-wise, like, how did you lock in on that kind of a situation? Did you know this is my chance to prove who I am?
Man, to be honest, so my team, nobody on our team was over 6'3". So nobody expected us to even get to the game before state. We had been beating teams back to back to back. The second round of the playoffs, at that time, we had knocked out J.J. Cartwell, who was a big-time recruit. And everybody started wondering, like, who is this? Who is these kids? Like, so when we got to the game to get the state, I still remember it. I woke up in the morning. We played them around 4 or 5 to get the state. I woke up in the morning. Everybody was outside my house like it was a party.
So, wow.
Damn, is this serious? I'm a 10th grader at the time. I don't know. Everybody outside my house, the whole community, Fifth Ward, like it's huge to them. Like, man, you finna play the best guard in the city in the last 30 years and to get to the state championship. To me, I'm like, dang, like I'm nervous, I'm scared, anxiety. The game ain't even here, it's early in the morning, everybody outside. So we get to the school, the whole community outside the school, we get to the gym and warm up and I'm nervous. And when we start playing, I think I hit him with a move. He was guarding me. I was kind of nervous. I hit him with a move and he bit for it. And after that, my confidence rose sky high and we end up beating him by, I want to say 15. And my life changed after that. Going into that summer, everybody was talking about me.
Is that when the shoe company started calling? Was after that game?
Nah, they had been calling, but they thought I had a chance to be good. When I showed them that, that's when it really started going crazy. Like, everybody was calling, like, other shoe teams from other cities, Oak Hill, Montevere, like, but, game, my stuff took off.
Man, that's awesome. That is awesome. So, you kind of alluded to this earlier, and I wanted to dive a little bit deeper into it. But you talked about the point guard role. And I wanted to discuss that with you because, I mean, it's very clear to me at this point that, you know, Penny's been here for 4 years and you are the best. And this is no shot to Alex Lomax because we love Alex Lomax and what he can do on the court.
Yeah.
But it's clear to me that in terms of a – high-level point guard that can score, can pass, can lead a team, that you're the guy. You're going to be the best player that Penny has ever had in that position since he's been here at Memphis. And I would say that, you know, the common thing is that quarterback in the NFL is the most important position in all of sports. But the point guard has become very quickly in basketball like a must-have. Like, you have to have a solid point guard. You have to have a point guard who understands the game, who's an extension of the coach on the floor. For you as a point guard, what part of your role as the point guard do you find the most satisfying when it's running at an effective level? Like, what part of your role as a point guard do you find the most satisfying to play?
Making everybody happy. Yeah, you're right. The point guard is like the quarterback. You got to feed everybody. That's the most difficult, but it's also the most funnest. And also being able to take all the blame. When things go bad, you get all the blame. And when things go good, you get all the glory. But you got to take the glory with the shame. I like being able to say it's my bad, and I also like being able to feed my teammates. So I'm selfless. Whatever it takes to win, I do it. Whether it takes 5 steals, whether it takes 20 assists, whether it takes 5 points, I'm willing to do it. And being a point guard, the ball is like a magnet. Like once everybody touch it, it brings energy. So I like to see everybody happy.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I don't know, but what you cooking, man?
The AAC, I think, is criminally... what's the word I'm looking for? It's criminally underappreciated nationally for the play that happens in there. I mean, you look at the league and, I mean, everybody's beating up on everybody else in the AAC. I mean, it's really difficult to go through the AAC and win, to go undefeated or to, you know, at any given moment based on the matchups. Like, I honestly feel like that last year's Tigers team was a better, like, Houston was a better matchup for the Tigers team than SMU was. Like, y'all were, the SMU team from last year gave Memphis the most trouble out of, and I mean, obviously beat the brakes off the Tigers in the FedEx Forum, but I mean, you guys were matchup-wise really, really tough to play against. But you've had some pretty interesting matchups against point guards in the AAC, you know, Marcus Sasser, Jamal Shedd, Alex Lomax from Memphis. And then the kid from Tulane, Jalen Cook?
Jalen Cook, yeah, my little bro.
Man, that dude is, oh God, he's so good. But what did you see out there on the floor playing against Memphis over the last couple of years? Like, what did you see out there on the floor during your battles with Alo, the battles with the Memphis team? That made you decide, like, hey, this would be a good place for me to further my college career at? What was it like for you playing against those Memphis teams? What did you see from the game plans, all that stuff?
They always made it the toughest. If I would say the hardest team to get loose on, I would say it was Penny. He threw different looks at me, whether it was two guys, whether it was three. And then sometimes I would struggle, but I loved it because he made me use my brain. He made me kind of become a better player. Like some games I would get off and he'd adjust the next game. Or if I did something good at this game, he'd adjust, you know, just like the NBA. He was an NBA guy, so he understand each game, different schemes for different players. And we talk about this all the time. He was like, I knew if you got one to go in, it was over. So we made sure to do two at you, three at you. We had to just make sure whoever else, you wasn't going to beat us. He was like, we failed to do that the first two times we played y'all this year. He's like, in the tournament, we made sure you were not going to beat us. And it made me look back at that game, and I was like, man, I should have gotten to my moves quicker, because every time I size up, they came. And it just brought the best out of me. I was able to, you know, study games. I mean, every team would try to follow what Penny would do to slow me down, but everybody don't have Jalen Durant. So, you know, everybody don't have them. So it made it a lot easier. But for sure, like, I love the Memphis matchups. Made me want to come there. Just seeing how smart his brain is, and with my talent, I just thought it couldn't go wrong.
That's right. Man, I've watched – I'm a basketball junkie, so I've watched – obviously a lot of film of you over the last couple of years at SMU. And I think it's safe to say that you are probably one of the best tough shot makers in college basketball. And what I mean by that is, like, you look at, if you play a video where you're bringing the ball up the floor, press pause on that video right when you're coming across half court or even making your first move. Everybody's eyes, all five of the defenders' eyes, were on you the entire time. Like, there is no, hey, let me make sure that this dude's not gonna, like, I gotta keep an eye on him. No, it's everybody's eyes. No matter where you were on the floor, people were keyed in on where Kendrick Davis is. Where is he on this floor? We gotta keep our eyes on him. And so because of that, it was crazy, because, like, no matter what move you make, you had multiple guys blitzing you. You had, you know, when in pick and roll coverage schemes, it was all about getting the ball out of your hands. It wasn't about making sure that the ball, that, you know, the pick and popper or whoever it was, it was about, let's get the ball out of Kendrick's hands as quick as possible. But if you, the tough shot side of it is, no matter what was going on, your ability to get your shot off, your ability to get the right pass to the right guy, your ability to shoot over tall, like, big defenders, your ability to do all those different things, your ability to make those shots is really, really, really impressive, and one of the best I've seen in college basketball in a long time. I wanted to ask you a question about those kinds of plays, though. Like, how much of that for you is a feelings thing? Like, do you feel it out there on the court? How much of that is game plan? Like, do you come into the game knowing, like, this is what they're going to do, and this is what I need to make sure that they don't stop me? Or is it, man, I'm out here in the moment feeling it and all those things. What is it? Is it more so feelings, or is it more so game plan?
Shout out to my coach Jankovic, offensive guru. When right. I say offensive guru, one of the best.
Right.
But we kind of knew – our playbook would have to change game to game, because I would see different schemes. So he kept me ready for me as a kid. I was just going out there like, man, I'm finna hoop, get it on. But it wasn't that for me no more. Every game we had to have different schemes in our playbook to throw different stuff at teams. Cause like you said, they would trap and get the ball out of my hands and then face guard me to where I couldn't get it back. So we had different schemes for that. If they put bigger defenders on me, we had different schemes for that, where we just clear out the floor. Because like you said, I could shoot it from everywhere. And I rarely make a mistake. I'm willing to make the right play, and I'm willing to, you know, take it all. So when they put bigger defenders on me, we spread the floor. No, we don't need a pick for that. It just changed from game to game. I mean, I seen every coverage. I seen the traps. I seen the hard hedges. I seen low shows. I done seen them put 6'6" wings on me. I seen it all, but my coach kept me ready. Like, 2 days before the game, he'll tell me, hey, we finna play Memphis. I think Penny gonna throw a trap at you. You know, whether it's a screen or not, I think he coming. So I think if you get off the ball early in the game, it'll open up late in the game or late in the half. And I trusted him enough to believe in it. And it always worked more than that, what he told me. I never forget, we played Vanderbilt. We played Vanderbilt at home, and they trapped me every chance they got in the first half. Like, I couldn't even look at the rim every time I touched it, and we were down 12 at half. I think I maybe had 4 points. And he's like, you made the right play. Now watch this. And I think I exploded for like 20.
Right.
Second half. But it was because they were so scared of the right reads I was making. I was steady making that pocket pass, steady making it to the point where they was like, okay, we can't give that all game. And I had several games like that where it'd be 4 or 5 points at halftime because the team trapped me, and second half it all changed. So, I mean, my coach Jank had a great game plan for us, just wrinkles in it just to get me loose.
How good does it feel to be in that flow, right, where you are, to be that kind of player where your mindset is, I'm going to impact and affect the game, even if it's not in the scoring way? Like, everybody looks at the box score. How many points did Kendrick score? It's a good game, bad game. Novices look at that stuff. But when you're in that flow and you're like, I mean, because you know how long of a game it is. You're like, man, I'm literally toying with you. I'm playing with my food right now. Like, I know that if I keep making the right plays, the right decisions, the right pass, the right pocket passes, the right kickouts, whatever, in the second half, I got you, because you already know I can do that. Now I'm about to get you on this other side, shooting the ball, going to the basket. How good does it feel to be able to toy with people like that?
I had great teammates who believed in me. It also came from maturity, just being in that stage a long time. But I had great teammates like Zach, the Weathers.
Right.
List go on and on, but they wanted me to be aggressive.
Right.
They ain't no trap stop you. Like, if I had 5 points at half, they'd be like, Katie, in order for us to win, you're going to have to go out there and you're going to have to get aggressive. And, you know, I had great teammates like that. UCF game, I had, I think, 2 points at halftime. And we were up 2, and they was in the halftime, like, happy. Like, man, you ain't even did nothing. We up 2. And I exploded for 18 at half, and we ended up winning by 20. And like, we don't be worried. Like, so I had great teammates who knew they knew. And I mean, I'm a player where I work so hard, you won't never see me take a shot I didn't work on. So once I see one go in, it don't matter if you put 6'8", 6'9". Once I see one go in, it's kind of pretty much a wrap. Even Penny said it, like, once you see one go in, it's kind of, I get nervous.
Do you even see the defender? Or do you just have, you've got so much muscle memory and muscle, you know, habits with your practice and your work ethic and all that. Do you even see the defender? You said a 6'8 guy guarding you. I don't care if a 6'8, 6'9 guy's guarding me. Do you even see the guy?
Not no more. I used to, but muscle memory then kind of cleared it out. I make 2,500 shots a day, and I do it with a defender on me. My trainer, Norris Isaac, guards me, like, and he's 6'4", and I make 2,500 shots a day. So when I get in the game, it kind of be feeling like this it. Like, this
is light work. This is light work.
Yeah, only a hand up. Why, so I mean, it just comes from work. You just got to work consistently, because 2 years ago, last year, that the length would have bothered me. But
right
now, I mean, I'm mature, I'm older, to where I can shoot over any hand.
Right. So obviously this year, there's a lot of questions about the Memphis Tiger roster. You know, obviously bringing back DeAndre and Lester, possibly, you know, we don't know. They haven't decided yet whether or not they're going to come out of the draft process or not and come back to Memphis. But let's assume that Lester and DeAndre are coming back. With Lester and DeAndre and the addition of you out there on the floor, man, that's a nice core of – I mean, that's a good core of players right there. What, as you've played against them, played against the Tigers team – how do you see yourself elevating the guys on this roster to the next level in terms of their development?
Everywhere I go, I win. Kind of like Chris Paul with the Suns. Like, everywhere you go, he win. He might not win the biggest thing, but he changed the program around.
Absolutely.
But Ace, I'm not changing the program around. I'm just trying to win at a higher level. But hopefully Lance will come back. Hopefully DeAndre come back. But, I mean, we got other things in the work that's going to get done, of course. Come on now. But, yeah, like, we'll be fine. We'll be top 25, and we'll be rolling.
Let me ask you this, off topic real quick. What'd you think about Pat Bev on ESPN talking about Chris Paul? What'd you think of his statements, man?
Man, I'm big on staying out of business. I'm big on that, but I will say it was kind of touching because I love Pat Bev, dog, and fight.
Oh, yeah.
He paved the way for dudes like me, but also Chris Paul did, too. So I would have loved to see him give a little more respect, but,
right.
I mean, it's Pat Bev. That's how he make his money, so I respect a man that got to take care of his family.
Respect to both of them, right?
Yeah. Chris Paul a GOAT, though.
He's a GOAT. That man, yeah. You know, 30. Memphis.
Oh, man, like, you can't expect the world out of him. I mean, Luka, I played him. Luka, a bad boy. But
you played against Luka?
Nah, I never did, but he a bad boy. Chris Paul, right. Blame, though. If anything, DB and DeAndre Ayton should. I mean, they 23, 24.
Right.
He 37 out there, I mean.
Memphis Grizzlies fans have a long history with Chris Paul with the Clippers, man. Those Blake Griffin, Chris Paul.
Them grind days,
man. So it's funny, man. Like, Chris Paul is like people in Memphis are like, we hate Chris Paul, but we love Chris Paul all at the same time. You got to respect the game, man. Like, you got to respect his game.
Yeah, nah. He paved the way for dudes, man. Without him, it wouldn't be no knees. It wouldn't be
right.
It wouldn't be a lot. A point guard probably wouldn't even exist no more if he wasn't. He'd keep it alive. Chris Paul keep the point guard alive. He shows that more than points and assists affect your culture. Just, I mean, you gotta respect it. And he only 6 feet doing it.
6 feet, man. It's crazy. He's the little guy's guy, man. Everybody's like, okay, if he can do it, we can do it.
Trae Young and Ja, them two my guys. So I love Chris Paul. I love watching him, but Trae Young and Ja Morant, them two minds.
I feel you, bro. Trae Young is so nice, man. And Ja, obviously we love Ja, but Trae Young is
Ja that guy, man.
Man, you ain't lying. Memphis ain't never had a guy, especially for the Grizzlies. It's never had a guy that you could legitimately say, this dude could win us a championship. And now we got one for the Tigers too. Like, that's what I think most people are so excited about is you want, like, the Memphis fans are so basketball crazy that the basketball gods have kind of been cruel to us over the years. And when the Memphis Grizzlies are good, the Tigers have had down years. When the Tigers have been really good, the Grizzlies have had down years. And now it's like, oh my God, now we got Ja Morant with the Memphis Grizzlies and then, damn, Kendrick Davis is with the Tigers. Like, what does this mean? Like, have the basketball gods, are they shining on the Tigers, right? The city of Memphis right now.
Yeah, I guess so. We'll see. Hopefully that's what it is. I'm going to just work, keep putting my head down and work, and I know Jai is. We'll be in the gym this summer together, though. Hopefully we have two great years and turn the city up.
The city will be absolutely turned if – the Grizzlies and the Tigers are both really, really good this year. That's going to be crazy. So I wanted to ask you a question real quick. Last couple of questions. Notoriously, over the last 4 years, Penny's teams have kind of gotten off the slow starts. You know, they've won a couple of games and then kind of gone on a little bit of a stretch where they've had some struggles. And a lot of it is due to the continuity of the roster, kind of late roster developments, you know, things like that. And then obviously, man, the last 2 years has been COVID stuff. So it's like the pandemic has played a massive role in getting guys into the city, doing these different kinds of things, like, you know, the roster coming together late. So the Penny's teams have always had really good end of the years over the last 4 years. Like, they've really, really done well at the end of the year, but have kind of dug themselves a little bit of a hole at the beginning, to the point where it's like there's a lot to climb out of. I mean, I think most college basketball guys would say the Tigers were better than a non-seed last year. They were better than that. But the beginning part of the year kind of put them in a tough spot. How do you, as the point guard, as the extension of the coach, man, how do you kind of help that? Like, how do you work through that and try to make sure that doesn't happen again this year?
Man, first you start off by being coachable. They see the best player on the team able to get coached and pushed, then it leaves no excuse. Secondly, just letting everybody in that locker room and the staff know I got their back. Just so, you know, everybody know it's genuine. It ain't forced. But I tell Penny all the time, man, and me and Coach Jank had this relationship. Coach Jank knew I was going to win him 10 games easy, just off it being my night. He always said it like, we look at our schedule and we had 30 games. He said, I know 10 for sure we won, just off you just having that night. Now, the other 10, we might have to grit and grind. And the other 10, I mean, you might not win them. You know, just some days another team had them nights where you just, it's nothing you can do to stop them. But that's what the summer's here for. Just get to know each other earlier on and off the floor. I got a good relationship with, you know, Lester, DeAndre, the Lawsons, Malcolm. You know, I kind of got a good relationship with them because, I mean, played against them 3 years, grew up in the city with DeAndre. So, kind of, you know, I knew Diedrich too. So, kind of I knew them. So, I think we'd be fine. We're not trying to start off slow. We're trying to get it going and rolling. And, man, we ain't trying to lose a game, honestly.
Right.
Yeah. On a game thinking, oh, we might lose this one. Nah, we want to win every one. So
absolutely. I love that, though, that those kind of behind-the-scenes conversations between a point guard and a coach. Like, off the rip, we know we got 10 games because of you, right? Yeah. Like, we know we can put 10 games in the column just because of you. That's hella interesting. Like, that's crazy to me that those are
– That's like any great player, you kind of – All right, like, you know, with LeBron, you're going to win 20, 30 games because right. He's going to have them nights. But what about the ones where he's having them nights, but also they got another dude on the other end got them nights?
Right.
So, I mean, we're going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. I mean, going for back-to-back player of the years, it's going to be interesting.
So I got a couple more questions for you that are fan questions. They want to kind of get to know – Kendrick Davis just a little bit more. If you could only watch one movie and listen to one album for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Oh, wow. You put me on the spot with that one.
Yeah, man. One album, one movie.
One album? Ooh, one album. I would have to go NBA Youngboy Riller, his album Riller. I remember that me and D-Bang turned up to that one in Hawaii.
Right.
Really. And one movie. Ooh, one movie.
You can only watch this movie for the rest. This is the only movie you can watch for the rest of your life.
Shotus.
Say that again?
Shotus. It's a movie called Shotus. S-H-O-T-T-A-S.
I've never heard of that movie. What is that? Who's in that?
I honestly don't know who's in it.
Right.
But it's a great movie. But when you get off here, go watch Shotus.
Okay. Hey, Tiger fans, as you're listening to this, go and find Shotus. S-H-O-T-T-A-S.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah.
And that's the movie that Kendrick will watch. If he could only watch one movie the rest of his life, that's it. All right. So how do you decompress from basketball? I know you're a basketball junkie. I know you play basketball. What's a hobby you enjoy if you just need to take a break for a second?
A hobby? Man, you that, like you say, I eat, sleep, live basketball. That's my problem a little bit. Obviously, I got a child, so I'm with him. But I like
you're
the
you're a parent. You ain't got time for hobbies, right?
Nah, I mean I do. My mom helps me out a lot. If I had a hobby, I would love to go swimming. Like I love swimming. I love swimming, so I like water.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not a good. I just like swimming.
So do you actually like, are you a, like, do you like to get on boats? Do you like to jet ski? Do you like to do?
All of it. Jet skiing, boats, canoeing, regular swimming. I like it all.
All right, Memphis fans. If you own a lake, word of advice, don't try to do any of that in the Mississippi River. Don't do that.
I won't be in a Memphis jersey.
You got any last words, man? I know yesterday was a huge day announcing you're coming out of the draft process, coming to play for University of Memphis, man. Memphis fans are excited to hear from you. These are your first words to them after you made that announcement. What do you want to say to Memphis fans as they're hearing this podcast today?
Man, I just want to tell all Memphis fans we're going to be fine. I'm here. I'm ready to. What Ja did to the city, I'm ready to do the same. Coming for back-to-back player of the years, I'm ready to, you know, turn the crowd up. I heard the boos in my last 3 years, but I'm here to change it. Had a crowd going crazy. I'm here to win every game. Actually, this year in Moody, we went 18-0. We didn't lose a game in Moody. So I think I only lost 3 games my whole career, 4 games my whole career in Moody. So I'm not used to losing. Try to win back-to-back player of the years for the city. And just turn the city up. I'll give you what the Grizzlies gave y'all this year. And hopefully next year you can have both Grizzlies and Tigers. But, man, I can't wait to get started. And I'll be there June 1st.
Oh, wow. You're going to be here quick.
Yeah.
That's what's up. Okay, so you're coming into town on June 1st.
Yeah.
Okay. Dope, man. Hey, Kendrick, thank you, man, for real, for joining me. I know it's early on Saturday. I know you've been up for a minute, but thank you for joining me. And I know Memphis fans are going to be excited to hear from you after your announcement that you're coming, that you've made the decision to come out of the draft and are coming to Memphis. And man, it's going to be a good year, man. I know you've heard some boos from Memphis fans. Now you're going to realize, man, once you put that blue on, bro, it's a different story, man.
Man, but nah, I appreciate you for having me, and go Tigers, go.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Tigers and 20 Off the Boards. If you enjoyed this episode, we would love for you to leave a rating and a comment wherever you download your podcast. If you are interested in daily content all about the University of Memphis athletic program, head over to www.gotigers247.com. Articles are published daily, and you can join the Go Tigers 247 family by signing up for a VIP membership for even more behind-the-scenes information.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I feel it in my soul. I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.